Amen. That was tremendous singing. I get a little bit carried away singing at times. I've known to lose my voice singing because I like to really sing it out loud. We have a lot to praise the Lord for, haven't we? And it's wonderful to be able to lift up our voices and praise Him. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, for a reading. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to read from the verse 1. Galatians chapter 6, reading from the verse 1. And I trust that as we turn to God's word, that the Lord will speak to our hearts. Now, I'm not going to bring an in-depth message. I'm going to leave before you an outline and some thoughts. And I trust that the Lord will challenge us through His word. We always, when we turn to God's word, we want to hear God's voice. We want to be challenged. There are many needs in missionary work, and I trust that the Lord will stir up our hearts even as we consider His word. And the Lord will speak afresh to each one of us. Galatians 6, reading from the verse 1, where we read, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Amen. And we trust and pray that the Lord will bless these verses to our hearts for Jesus' sake. I'm going to consider tonight just briefly the verse 10, where we read, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Let's just bow briefly and momentarily in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. We rejoice in Thy truth this evening. And we ask Thee to speak to each one of our hearts. May we hear Thy voice. Lord, speak to my heart afresh. Bring us all by faith to Calvary. O God, we pray that You'll come and stir up our hearts. Lord, You'll help us to realize the great need of the day. We want to thank Thee, Lord, for a church with missionary vision. And we pray to continue to further that vision. O God, give to us a great love for the souls of men, primarily stemming from a love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear and answer prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. Here in the chapter, we have before us the law of the harvest, reaping the same of you sown after, and of course, reaping more. And we have the assurance, don't we, in verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." The need for perseverance, the need to keep on keeping on, the need to continue to labour in God's work, no matter what the area of service is. And I trust that even in a while, when I show the PowerPoint and give a report, that it will stir up our hearts, all of us, more and more, especially not only to think about working with those folks who are in addiction and have life-controlling stubborn habits, but also for young people, for children, before they would ever get to that stage, that God would indeed work on their hearts. And can I say that if you're a young person's worker, if you're working with children, teenagers, boys and girls, Sunday school, whatever the work may the Lord be pleased to bless your labours. But let me encourage you, keep going. Keep persevering. Why? Because in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. What a wonderful promise. And of course, the reality is that we do become weary. And we do feel the pressure and the burden of the work. But here in the verse 10, we find here that the apostle not only encourages the Lord's people to continue on in the work, as here as he draws this letter to the Galatians and the people there in the church to a close for turning to chapter 6. You're turning to the last part, as it were, of the letter. And here as we turn to this last part of the letter, we find that Paul here, he not only encourages them to keep going, but he specifically speaks about the need to do good and to keep doing good and to keep on doing good. And from this, I want us to consider this evening the need to do good, or the opportunity to do good. Just consider a number of things with me, please, tonight. There is the principle of doing good. As we have opportunity, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good. This principle of doing good is clearly set forth in the Word of God. Putting it very simply, salvation brings a change. We are no longer our own. We are bought with a price. And when we're redeemed, of course, there is that desire that we would do something for the Lord, and that we would in some way reach out to others. Salvation is accompanied by works. It's not accomplished by works. It's the work of the cross. It's the work of Christ. But salvation is always accompanied by works. In other words, faith without works is dead. And we ought to be serving the Lord and seeking to live for the Lord. And so this principle of doing good is set forth clearly in Scripture. Just as the apple tree will bring and bear forth those apples and will bear forth fruit, so the Christian, he or she will bring and bear forth the fruit of the Spirit, and we will do good. And Paul was encouraging others to certainly do as he had practiced, and that was to go about and to do good. And Paul, of course, reminds them of the very principle set forth in the Word of God. We need to make sure that we have the right attitude, that our actions are also correct, and we have the right approach, and that we have this principle of doing good. But it's also the pattern of doing good. And the pattern for doing good, there's no greater example, is there, in all of Scripture than that of Christ himself. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, we read how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. No greater example to us in all of Scripture than this blessed Saviour himself. He came to fulfill his Father's will. He went about fulfilling his Father's will. And therefore, in doing the will of God, healing the sick, causing the blind to see, feeding the hungry, he was fulfilling the will of his Father. You think of also not only the principle and the pattern of doing good, but the people to whom we ought to do good. Notice what it says here in verse 10. Paul says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Here are words, should I say, that are broad and wide in their scope. We're to do good to all. We're to be kind, caring, compassionate, filled with bowels of mercy. In other words, the way we treat others marks us out that we're different, we're saved. We're given this mission, a mandate from the Lord to do good to all men. And therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men. One of the most influential Puritan preachers of his day was a man by the name of Cotton Mather. And he said, the opportunity to do good imposes the obligation to do it. In other words, we have to act upon that opportunity. We need to fulfill that obligation and make sure that we do it. And here, we're not only told to do good to all men, but notice what it says here in verse 10. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You see, whenever we think about doing good to others, we should primarily and especially think about the Lord's people and doing good to one another, those who are of the household of faith. And the Lord's people are given this special place. We're part of that redeemed body, Christ, of course, being the head. Let's just turn very briefly, please, to Matthew chapter 25, because in Matthew 25, here the Lord was speaking to his disciples. And in Matthew chapter 25, verse 35, we read, in fact, we'll read verse 34 just to get the context. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee anhungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and shall say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. It's a very serious matter. And what the Lord was basically saying was, the way you treat your brother, your sister in Christ, my brethren, you're treating me that way. And therefore, we are to seek to do good to one another. And there are so many ways. We haven't time to go into it, but there are so many ways that we can be a blessing to one another. It doesn't take much to put ourselves out, to maybe make a phone call, to send a text message, to put pen to paper, to send a card, just to tell someone that we miss them or that we love them in the Lord, whatever it may be, just to encourage them to do good one to another. Why? Because this is the divine order. Because as we do good one to another and as we're in the right place before the Lord and praying for God's blessing to come down, the result will be that we will go out and we will evangelize the lost and fallen world. There's also the purpose of doing good. You see, the purpose and the practice of doing good, it's not just simply to fulfill an obligation, to perform a religious exercise. The great and grand purpose in view, of course, is that we might reflect our Savior's love and compassion. That we, by our actions, by our lives, might glorify the Lord. Our lives have often been likened to and referred to an open Bible. And for many people, the only Bible they will read this week is your life and mine. The question is, what are they reading from the Bible of our lives? And I trust that we will realize that the purpose is of course, for the glory of God. Then is that the priority for doing good. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men. We have to make it a priority. We're given opportunities to do good each and every day. The question is, what are we doing with those opportunities? Opportunities. We all are given them, whether it's in education, practical skills, whatever it may be. But when we think about God's work, what many opportunities we have to further the gospel. We need to seek for opportunities. We need to seize them, lay hold upon them. The reality is, we have limited opportunities. We have but one life here on earth, and it will soon be passed. We need to put everything in perspective. Abraham, whilst he journeyed to the earth, he had his eyes on heaven and upon the Lord. He looked for that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Our time upon earth is short. We're reminded of that. We have limited opportunities, but you know, praise God, we have life-changing opportunities. Opportunities to present the Christ who transforms sinners, who rescues them, who redeems them. What a message we have. And then one day there will be our last opportunity. Who knows when that will be? Can I say just in closing, there is a privilege of doing good. The privilege. It's not merely a duty. It's not that we might have a box-ticking exercise fulfilling certain requirements. But that we serve the Lord because we love Him. That's what motivates us. That's what causes us to speak. Because we love Christ, because He first loved us. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good. Let us. We, the people of God, the church. Paul was basically saying, as we, the redeemed of the Lord, God's people, have opportunity, let us serve our Saviour. Be a blessing one to another. Reach out to a lost world with the wonderful news of the gospel. May we ever seek and strive to do just that. Amen. Well, it's a real privilege to be along this evening, to be able to speak at your prayer meeting. And I want to thank the Reverend Kenny for the opportunity to come and to bring a deputation update. What I'm going to do here is I'm actually going to plug my presentation in, the same one that I've sent through. Just so that I make sure that I'm on the same page with the technical team down in the back. And I do want to thank the men for their assistance and for their help in being able to do this. Can I say that it is a real privilege? Thank you for your prayers, your support. You've prayed and you do support us in so many ways, and you pray for us, and we are indebted to the Lord for that, and thank the Lord for that, and indebted to you. Thank you so much for every remembrance, and it's been a real blessing. I'm so thankful that the Lord has touched me physically, given me a good measure of health and strength, and I must admit that the past number of years were certainly a real challenge when you're involved in the Lord's work and you have a busy schedule. And then you have so much sickness. It's amazing. I haven't had an antibiotic in a year. Now that mightn't seem much, but when you had 30 years of them, it's a lot. The last course of antibiotics I had 13 courses, one after the other. That's a lot of antibiotics, and it wore me down. It really did. And I haven't had them now from April last year. And I just want to thank the Lord publicly. I want to thank him. And in a sense, maybe I understand now why I needed the help, because it's a busy schedule. It really is. And there certainly is no place, there's no time for laziness in God's work. And we ought to be busy. And I just thank and I praise the Lord for giving me the strength to be able to carry out the work. So thank you so much in the Saviour's name. Go with the first slide. As you are aware, that I am a missionary to the addicted, working under our mission board, and it's a work that I've been involved in for quite a number of years now. My wife, Linda, works with me. She doesn't work for me. She would tell you that she was here, but she works with me, and I can tell you that has been such a blessing. And I'll tell you why. Just to have the company, for one. But also I think and I feel it because as a mother, she has a mother's heart. And that's essential when it comes to working with people in addiction. She keeps me right at times. And by that I mean, perhaps I've maybe been hasty with someone, or maybe not just as long-suffering as I ought to be, and she'll kindly remind me the need to keep persevering. And there are times, I must admit, that I really am so thankful for her, because she just perseveres with people, keeps going. And when we think about working with folks in addiction, you're in for the long term, and you're praying that God will work in their hearts and in their lives. And oftentimes you go and you go again, and you keep helping, and that there continues. But I'm thankful to our mission board as well for making it possible for Linda to come out and to work with me. And they have been very kind to us in making that happen. And as we think about opportunity, praise the Lord for every opportunity given to us. We want to seize those opportunities. And when I think about the work and the burden of the work and the need that there is, I want to really lay one thing before you tonight. Please pray that God will raise up others. There are so many opportunities in this ministry. It is incredible. It really is. I mean, there could be someone full-time in schools. There could be someone doing full-time in outreach, someone doing full-time visitation. The potential is great. And I mentioned about having my wife with me because putting it very simply, there are times when I do feel the loneliness of the ministry. And by that, I mean, I would go out and I'm doing visits, especially I'll be doing them obviously with men, and I'm away a lot and spending time with them. And you're making decisions on the spur of the moment. Decisions that they're not easily made. You need a lot of wisdom. Pray for wisdom. You realize that God, people are praying at that particular time. The Lord is giving you wisdom. So as we think of the opportunities, pray that the Lord will raise up others. Please, if you can pray one thing, that God will raise up men, raise up women who will be basically willing to say, here is my life. Take it and use it in your service. When I think about the need of reaching out to others in addiction, first of all, we want to make sure that we're reaching out to boys and girls. Now, I'm not a children's worker, and we have children's evangelists in our own church denomination. We thank the Lord for them, praise God for them, and I pray that the Lord will basically bless them in their labours, Christina, Joyce, and our brother Robert, and keep his hand upon them. Pray for every aspect of children's ministry and children's work that the Lord will just undertake. Last year, I took on a number of missions. It was good for me to be with the boys and girls. It's always a reminder of the need to reach children. To give you an idea just of one evening, it was a Thursday evening. It was the first week of mission. It was actually down in Armagh. And Linda and myself had a very tough day. Hey, you know, I'm saying we had a difficult day. Nothing in comparison to the people we were working with. We'd basically been in with a number of girls, a number of ladies who self-harmed, who had overdosed, who had relatives who had died. And we both come out in tears, broken. In fact, for a while, there are some times that we've been out and we don't speak for a while. Because you really feel the depth of the need. And I went to the children's meeting that Thursday evening thinking, Lord, how am I ever going to take a children's meeting tonight? And whenever I went, I must admit, I was praying, Lord, help me to keep it together. Because this has been so, so tough. But when I went to the meeting that evening, what a blessing those children were to me. To see their lovely little faces, to see them standing and singing and praising God, reciting the memory verses. And we need to pray before a life is ever entangled and enslaved in addiction, that God will save children early in life, spoil them from the world, spoil them for the world, and save them from it. And that was in Portadown. And we had wonderful opportunities just to go there to the church in Portadown. And so this year I'd sort of set myself a limit. You have to be careful what you say, don't you? I often find that if you say, I'm not going to do, you find that that's the very thing you'll be challenged on by the words of your mouth. So this year I determined, I said, I'm only going to do one, possibly two. I've ended up with a few more. But I'm really looking forward to the meetings this summer. And I would ask you to please pray for them. It's always a blessing just to take not a break, but just to be able to come aside from the addiction work for a while. It's quite heavy at times, and just to be able to work and to minister with the boys and the girls. and to speak in our youth meetings, to reach out, to speak to young people, to have the opportunity in our own churches. This is a meeting in Martyrs, and it's always a real blessing to be able to go and to speak to children and to young people. I was being in school recently, quite a number of schools across our province. It's frightening when we think of the problem of drugs in our land and just the issues that are ongoing and how it's escalating and really is having such a devastating effect. And to be able to go into the classroom, it's a wonderful privilege. I count it a real blessing. Now, of course, when you think about it, you could have a number of people in a full-time schools ministry. I'm serious. The opportunities are many and they are great. But you find yourself stretched very, very quickly. And I was in school recently, and it was just a real encouragement. Speaking to young people, for instance, about how drugs can affect them physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, legally, socially, the list just goes on and on and on. And that prevention message is very important. But can I say it's a means to an end? It gives you the opportunity to present the gospel and to speak about the real purpose for life. And to be able to say to young people, to make it very clear to them, your body just isn't designed or created for drugs. The Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 14, that we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. And it was a real blessing to be in the schools just recently. One of the schools I was in, I sometimes do a little bit of interaction with young people. So I'll write, for instance, drugs. There's one I say on the chalkboard. You don't get chalk on boards in school. Oh, and the dry whiteboard. Just write up drugs and ask the young people to shout out drug names, etc. And they'll come off with a whole lot of different names. So I was in a school just recently, and I was getting some names thrown out there. One of them was Xanax. And I was quite surprised, and I said, do you know how to spell Xanax? X-A-N-A-X. I thought, wow, a 12-year-old. 12 now. I thought, wow, that's incredible, knowing what Xanax is. What family of drugs it comes from. Any other names? Dimethylamine, tryptamine, DMT. And once again, I was really taken back. This is a drug that's known as the Jesus drug because you're said to have had a religious experience, a spiritual awakening, a spiritual experience on the particular drug, DMT. Of course, it's a hellish drug. The Bible says and reminds us the fact that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And he is, of course, the author and the creator. So to be able to go into the classroom is absolutely wonderful. And to be able to speak there to the children. Pray that the Lord will raise up other people, please, as we would go into the classroom. I have to remember and forward mine one on as well. So prevention, speaking, using the opportunity, but also being able to get into the local community. I love going into the streets, the lanes, love knocking doors, talking to people. And now if you were to go out this time of the year, you might find that some people are primed. We held a meeting a couple of years ago, and before I got up the path, somebody was primed. And as soon as the latch went, they were out the window, "Here, party ye with what?" And they were ready for it. And I was able to say, "No, I've got a great grand message. I've got good news," and was able to speak to them. So, but the answer to addictions meetings we've been holding throughout the country, basically, it's a platform again to go into the community. To be able to speak to people, to talk to them. People are looking help. They're wanting to know where do they get help. They have a son or a daughter, someone in their family with addiction. Where do they reach out? And it's important to go into the community, to go onto the doorstep. I think to date we've done around about, must be near 40 meetings now across the province in all different areas and communities. And it's been a real blessing to do that. Just recently, we were up in Bush Mills working with our local church there. I like to work with our local churches and to try and support them. And we were up with the Reverend Raymond Morrow And what a blessing it was to be able to go into the schools, to speak to the young people, and then also to have an awareness meeting. And it was in the orange holder, as you can see. And it was tremendous. I think that evening there were about 25 people who were in the meeting that night who would have been what we would class as being people who wouldn't normally go to they wouldn't go to the free church anyway. So it was wonderful to be able to have the people in to speak to them, give words of testimony, be able to speak, and just to be able to reach out in the community corridor as well. And picture myself with Matthew in the middle and then Rory. Have more meetings planned. Looking forward to doing that. And we'll have the men up from the home in Dublin. I'm not sure if you've received a copy or if you have one of the Teaching the Truth series, the latest one on alcohol. That's been I've been really encouraged after producing the booklet. It's the second in our series, and then working on the third one, which is going to be about the dangers of being online and social media. Been very well received, had to get more printed, and I want to thank our mission board for providing the finances to be able to do that, with some more copies ordered. So if you haven't got one and you need one, I did bring some copies with me tonight as well. There's a lot more materials I'm working on, and that's what I would call my spare time project. So I tend to do those things at night time. The problem being is once you get started, then I've done it many a time, where you tend to end up and you look at your watch and it's really early in the morning because you just work right through. What a great need there is to produce materials as well. There is a dangerous trend when we think about the problem of drugs and abuse, and especially with regards to prescription medication. I'm not going to stand here and name a whole lot of drugs, because if I do, somebody will say, oh, I'm prescribed that. I'm not talking about, you know, someone prescribed one or two diazepam, for instance. Talking about somebody who'll take a handful of maybe 50 tablets. That's what we're talking about. Not talking about the use, the legal use of a very good drug, but we're talking about the abuse or the misuse. And drug abuse is absolutely off the chart. It's incredible. And when you're working with people who have addictions to prescription drugs, and I use prescription drugs in particular, there are other dangers that come in and problems that are posed. In particular, you have certain drugs that are what we call slow release. And so whenever you take the tablet, it might be 20 minutes, it might be half an hour before the effects are in the body. The drug itself might release into the system over a period of time. So what happens is you have men and women who are not only taking them, but they're taking more and taking more. They haven't felt the effect, they take more. Then all of a sudden they overdose. And of course that's something that we see on quite a regular basis. This is your Xanax, and in your blues your 10 milligram of diazepam. And Xanax is not prescribed in the United Kingdom. They're the white long strips are. They're known as bars. They come in, start from 0.25 milligram. Very popular drug in the United States for anxiety. They go from 0.25 milligram right up to 2 milligram. But here, you can actually buy them in 10 milligram. Of course, they don't come in 10 milligram. Not made in 10 milligram. Most of the street drugs as well are also fake. And there are all sorts of issues around drugs and addiction. And we all know it's not just people from socially deprived homes, from areas where there's been social deprivation, where they've been neglected, abused, that end up in drugs. People from all different backgrounds, good homes, Christian homes, free pay homes. I deal with people all the time. And it really is there's such a tremendous need to reach out to a vast number of people. And the problem, it's hard for me to really put it in words, just where drugs are at in our province. Putting it very simply, it's big business, really big business. And it's unreal the amount of substances
that are out there. I mean, it's incredible. I would say that in some areas, you could buy cocaine quicker than you could buy a bag of sugar. That wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Linda and myself have been working in areas with folks, and basically every one of their friends is a user. Maybe they may take it recreationally, but of course it ends up spiraling out of control. Big, big problem with cocaine. Massive. And I suppose in a way, what has happened in our own country in particular is for years there's been this sort of attitude, well, heroin, a dirty drug, and so it is. Don't let heroin into our community. It's a really bad, nasty drug. You know, needles and all that there that goes with it and overdoses. But cocaine, hey, it's all right for this drug to be in the community. It's not as though it's you're going to become really addicted to it. Not going to die of an overdose. And it's viewed as being a socially acceptable drug. The problem being is cocaine has become so widespread that it's now being turned into crack cocaine in particular. Huge problem with crack right across our province. When someone's abusing or using crack cocaine, it just takes it to a completely new level. It takes it to a level where you're going to see all sorts of violent crime in particular, where people will do not only very stupid or silly things, but very sinful things, trying to get money. And then you also have a form of cocaine, pure as it's known, and sad to say, a lot of people are injecting cocaine. So we would work with folks who would be what we call IV drug users, injecting every day, if not every day, every other day. Some people multiple times a day. And it just takes it all to a completely new level and a new scale. Boils and abscesses plague the skin, gnawing pain racks the body, nerves snap, vicious twitching develops, imaginary and fantastic fears bite the mind, sometimes complete insanity results, oftentimes too death comes, much too early in life, such as the torment of being a drug addict, such as the plague of being one of the walking dead. It's as if you've got a death sentence. It's not a matter of if you're going to die, but when you're going to die. Now, the reality of addiction is very few people make it back out of addiction. If I was to go back through all the names over the years, there would be a lot of people I personally know who have died. I mean a lot. I suppose a very difficult aspect to our work is whenever you speak to someone, whether it's a fellow or girl, you're very conscious it could be the last time you talk to them. And it's such a great need. People need hope. When we think about hope, praise the Lord, we have the hope of the gospel, that the Lord Jesus is able to transform. He's able to save. So when we think about prevention work, going into the community, speaking in schools, speaking to our young people, warning them, trying to talk to them, trying to reach them before they ever get into drugs. And of course you have intervention, seeking to intervene in people's lives, seeking to reach them. It's a rescue mission. It's that type of work where you're reaching them when they're in the depths of despair. And I've been involved helping out with New Hope now for quite a period of time, nearly from it opened. Please do pray for our brother Leighton Kelly, all of the staff down in the men's home in Dublin. Know that you do support them and there's a connection here in the church with them. And at the minute we currently have two men from our country here in the home. And we're thankful to the Lord for that. Praying that the Lord will just speak to them, that the Lord will bring them right through for himself. And it's always been a blessing to have the men's home, to be able to send people there. I was speaking to a man just before I came into the meeting, and he'll be heading down soon to the men's home, God willing, within the next 4 weeks. And when I say soon, that is soon. When you're talking about residential, you're really talking about a 6-month wait. I have a lad at the minute waiting to go into a residential program. It's a specialized place. My prayer daily is, Lord, keep him alive so that he sees it. My real worry and concern is that he will never set foot in it. We just look to the Lord to really step in. I carry out the assessments for New Hope. So basically it's a 5-page application. So if somebody is wanting to enter the program, I'll go out, speak to them. I like to do it face to face. I was out with a man last week. Just to give you an idea of the sort of folks that we work with. So there was a man who I'd been put in touch with. Can you do an assessment with him? Met him. Started to fill in the application. We came to the page about drug use. And he was an alcoholic. So I said to him, so it's just drink? Yes. Are you sure about that? Oh, yes. Don't take any other drugs? No, nothing. And began to go through the page. And I said to him, well, sir, you don't smoke dope? Oh, not really. What's not really? Oh, just 50 pounds every few days of grass. All right, write that down. Suppose you don't really use benzos, benzodiazepines, all your AM drugs. Not really. I says, what's not really? In his words, I can only take about 200 a fortnight, 200 yellows. 200 times 5 milligram is 1,000 milligrams of diazepam. Now, I don't know about what you think. That's a lot of drugs. But to him, why would you even mention it? Heroin, I suppose. Suppose you don't use heroin. Well, overdosed 1 or 2 weeks ago. Had to be resuscitated. I said, so from going from being a man who has a drink problem, you take everything. Here's the way I do it now. Go to PhD. What drugs don't you take? Work backwards. I just take it basically for granted that they use everything. And I mean everything. Most of them will just be chronic addiction. And we do the assessment. We want to give people an opportunity to go down to the home last year. We've done a couple of day mental health course, and it was brilliant. I love being down at the men's home when I get the time to be down. I love to have fellowship with other men. It's just a wonderful place. And then we're able to go out and do some day trips, etc., and be able to take some time. And I always enjoy being around the folk down there. Pray for them that the Lord will undertake. Bless. We were back out in Dublin recently on outreach. And it was an outreach that was started a number of years ago. And it came about through a young girl being lost in Dublin city centre and going to seek and to find her. And basically that's how it all came about. And we were down recently. We'll be down, God willing, again. And in the middle, we'll be coming up also to Belfast very soon. And it's always a wonderful privilege to go on the streets to be able to reach out to individuals. The men's home had a graduation service recently. That 17 men graduate from the program. And that's 17 men who completed the 12-month program. Of course, not everybody goes on with the Lord, but you're praying that the Lord will continue to bless His word, to speak to hearts, to continue to work in lives. And we look to the Lord to do just that. Rory and Aidan, Rory on the left, and Rory is one of the men who graduated, and then Aidan would be one of the main staff in the home. He's going to be getting married soon, and we rejoice in transformed lives and what the Lord has been doing. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. At this stage, we're just going to say goodbye to our online viewers. That's